What's up, world? It's Spotty Wi-Fi, the king of the crypto punks, and you are now tuned in to Fired Up on the Blockchain with my guy, Travi. I get a little
fired. Aloha, everyone.
Yo, what's up? It's G-Love.
This is It's Becky, bitch.
Yo, it's your boy, Nessie the Rilla, from the east to the west. You already know who does it best.
What up, y'all? This is Sammy Ariaga.
I'm Juliet from Miss O Cool Girl.
I'm Ray Usla.
Hi, I'm Leah from Power of Women.
This is Danielle Petty.
This is your boy, Yassad, with the band Pepper.
What's up? It's your Web3 bestie, Liz Morrison.
It is important to show love.
I love your energy.
You're listening to Fired Up.
Fired Up. And I'm fired up.
I'm fired up on the blockchain.
You're listening to my guy, my Web3 bestie.
And I'm fired up with Travi.
My boy, Travi.
This is OSF, and I'm getting wrecked with Travi.
With Travi.
With Travi.
And I'm Toy Encendida en la cadena de bloques con Travi.
With Travi.
Fired up on the blockchain with Travi.
Hey, Travi, let's effing go.
Let's go.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and degens, for the thousands in attendance and the millions listening in podcast land, my name is Travi, and we are fired up on the blockchain.
Travi, come on now. Like, you got this under control. I get a little fired up.
Welcome back to Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi. This is episode 75, and I am going to be joined by two of my very best friends in the Web3 space. That's Brian Fanzo and Drew Cohen, also called Drewtility. And today we're going to talk about something that's on the top of everybody's minds, and I never thought I would say that out loud, and that is meme coins. We're going to talk about how people are having fun with meme coins in Web3. Nothing that we say in any of this conversation is financial advice, but we are going to talk about some meme coins that we either own or have traded or have been watching over the course of the last few months, because it seems to be what has reinvigorated the imagination of so many people in Web3. So we're going to talk about some different coins. And one in particular that we're going to talk about is called Pepe Coins, and it's an OG version of the Pepe meme coin. This has been out since 2016, and one of the reasons I like it is because it's not just a tradable meme coin. It's got a whole ecosystem around it. They've got opportunities for you to stake. They've got opportunities for you to create your own NFTs. So Drew, myself, and Fanzo are going to talk about all of this stuff, and we're going to talk about what it's going to lead to and how technology is kind of intersecting all through this Pepe Coins community. We're going to talk about the devs. We're going to talk about the teams. We're going to talk about a whole lot of stuff, and we're going to be celebrating that we're finally out of the bear market. If you've been listening from the beginning, or if you're a new listener, I appreciate you so much. And we've got something that's going to be going out to listeners. We are going to be teaming up with a company called Scoop 3. And Scoop 3 is going to give you an opportunity to earn your own NFTs just for listening to the show and being loyal listeners and tuning in each week. So as the information comes out, I'll have more for you. But that's just a bunch of really cool things that you can have in your wallet just for doing what you always do. And that's just press and play, sitting back and relaxing. So I'm excited for that. And I'm excited to crack open this conversation all about meme coins. So let's get into it.
It is Saturday night. This is a rare one. I got to be honest. I don't usually do any sort of Twitter space, X spaces, any stuff on a Saturday night because we got the fam. But I was talking with Fanzo and I was talking to Drew, and we said there's something going on. There's a phenomenon going on in this Web3 crypto land that we've all been a part of for a couple of years, well, a few years at this point, and some of us even longer. And we said, you know what? We need to have a conversation. And we needed to have a conversation about meme coins. We need to have a conversation about the things that have been going on with some of the meme coins that we've personally been following and holding on to. And before we get into that, nothing I ever say is financial advice. I actually try to stay away from the topic of finance, period, on my podcast. But I do like to talk about current trends. I do like to talk about things that I think are cool. And, you know, I think if it wasn't for Drew, Fanzo and I don't think either of us would be really, you know, discovering all these kind of little rabbit holes that you get with this whole meme coin world. But, you know, before I had a podcast, I was a guest on Fanzo's season one of NFT 365, which he hosted every single day for a year, and then a co-host on season two of NFT 365 with Fanzo. And Drew, who is the founder of Meta Athletes and also the host of the podcast, Meta Athletes the Playbook, and you can find Coach B on there as well. Drew and Fanzo, I don't know if you guys know, you guys were like my first people I ever interviewed on a Twitter space, like way before the podcast time. And it's kind of really all coming back around a little bit. Like, it's kind of like the Cerberus. It's like the three heads really just kind of attacking this. And we're talking about something totally different now, which is this land of meme coins. And I think, you know, Fanzo, you and I have Drew to thank for this. Drew, I think you've become like the meme father, man. So, you know, before we get into any of that stuff, why don't you both give the audience who's meeting you for the first time and anyone listening to the podcast who is newer to, I guess, subscribing, a little bit of your background and kind of who you are and what you've done in Web3 and stuff that led us to talk about this weird conversation that's on the top of everyone's mind, which is these meme coins. Fanzo, why don't we start off with you, man, a little bit of background on what you've been into the last few years.
Yeah, Travi, excited to be back on Fired Up on the Blockchain. Love that you did the podcast. I still believe to this day that you sandbagged the shit out of me because you were all nervous about doing a Twitter space back in the day with another NFT project. And I got in there and you rocked the microphone like you knew what you were doing. So I was like, oh, this guy had nothing to worry about. And yeah, excited to have the conversation. And, you know, this all comes full circle. You know, I got in to NFTs because of my ADHD coin on the layer two blockchain of Rally back in January of 2021. And that actually opened my eyes to like, oh, I can use this creator economy world and kind of live off of that side. And, you know, my background, I got a decade in cybersecurity for the Department of Defense and then worked in cloud computing and kind of machine learning world for a while. And then, you know, been dabbling in the digital marketing, you know, content creator space and as a, you know, full-time keynote speaker. And for me, this is all, you know, it's all about, you know, not only, you know, figuring out, you know, culture and community and really how do we reinvent, you know, digital ownership and kind of flip on its head the internet is where I come from in this, you know, kind of world. But yeah, excited for the conversation. It is kind of funny. We have NFT and we have YC coming up in a month. And Travi, we have so many good stories from that NFT NYC, me, you and Drew hanging out, hungover as all hell in the lobby of the hotel the first time, which was, I mean, that's the thing about that. That was way back. I mean, these NFT NYCs kind of roll all together, but it's cool to, you know, kind of go full circle and looking forward to the conversation. And yeah, not financial advice. And if anybody gets into meme coins from this show, we just blame Drew. You know, he's the shot caller as well as the one that we blame for all things meme coins. But yeah, Drew, over to you.
Yeah, Drew, for sure. But before you go and kind of get into the steamroll in the meme coin world, for everyone to really kind of jump on board of that train. You know, thinking back the last few years, we've gotten together a lot in real life. And I do want to say that too. That's why this is kind of always special to me when we are able.
Even across the pond. We went across the pond.
Exactly. We had NFT London we were at. We had NFT NYC for a few years. And, you know, it's coming back up again. You know, then I don't know if you guys were down in Basel. But look, it's been a crazy. This to me is different because we're together on this pod and we're talking to our friends, many new friends. Shout out to everyone in the Killa Bears community, the Pepe Coins community, and everybody else who's listening. But listen, this is my first real recording since I felt like we're kind of maybe out of the bear. And there's almost like a little bit of guilt, and I'm going to tell you why. Every pod I've recorded, up until maybe like the last one, we were in a market where everybody was kind of laughing at us. Everybody was laughing at the idea of NFTs or the idea of like the blockchain, you're too early, or certainly the idea of meme coins. But here we are, first one, where I'm feeling like, yes, we're back at an all-time high. Bitcoin hit an all-time high. Pepecoin hit an all-time high. There's a lot of really fun things to talk about. But I did just want to take a beat and just really absorb that for a second, because of everything we've been through, I feel like we finally made it out of that dark tunnel of the bear market together. So shout out to everyone who's still here. Let everyone kind of into your world, man. I mean, you've been a creator, you're a content creator with the podcast. You've been on Fanzo's NFT 365. You've produced things. You've been all over the place, but you've sort of given people a lot of really good education on what is going on with meme coins. And here we are, man. So where do we want to start? Where do you want people to know about you and how we got here?
Dude, I'm pumped. It is super cool to think about, series of spaces. And I don't know, was Fanzo on one of those first ones too? And I know that I was like one of the first ones, and just realizing like it was that space that actually made me dig in a little bit deeper and build a better connection with you. So I deeply grateful for that one. And yeah, dude, through the whole bear, you know, obviously you just have to learn how to value other aspects of this world outside of, you know, having a lot of liquidity flow to the point where you're able to make good trades and even see the value of what you're interacting with go up. Right. So, through that period, you know, there's a lot of networking, there's a lot of friendship building, there's a lot of digging in deeper and trying to find the teams, whether that's a coin, whether that's an NFT or no, whatever it might be. Really, like, where do you want to be when we are rewarded in a time when liquidity and attention comes back? And obviously, a lot of that follows the market and the market sentiment. The price of Bitcoin is obviously a huge. Honestly, just tide shifter in the way that people even think about it, right? Like, I put out a message to a couple group chats basically saying, you know, what we've seen in Bitcoin over the last couple of weeks is certainly restoring faith in crypto outside of our world. I think there's a lot of people here that, like you mentioned, Travis, there's a lot of people here that don't believe in it or are getting kind of upset with it. But there's also a lot of people that here that kind of never gave up and continue to keep participating. And man, those people that, you know, were DCAing, those people that were buying and holding for a long period of time are going to be rewarded. There's one event that happened probably like right before the new year. I was walking my dog and I was wearing a Bored Ape shirt, and one of my neighbors like popped by and just said hi to me. And he's just like, oh, he's like, tell me about this. Like, what is this? Looks pretty cool. And I was telling him, I was like, oh, I got really deep into NFTs in 2021. And like, before I can even finish my sentence, he like starts laughing. He's just like, oh man, really started to hear that. And I was like, I've never been more offended in my life. Cause like, he was just talking on something that he truly didn't understand. But, it kind of like, for me, kind of like kicked into the gear of like, man, we're just massively early where, people still just are reading headlines. And even though it feels like, you know, from 2021, from 2017, even 2014, that we've made huge strides that, outside of this world that we live in, it's still not recognized yet. So, yeah, man, I'm just excited. And I know we're going to dive into meme coins today too. But I also think that NFTs are right around the corner for a lot of the teams I've been building and obviously communities that have stayed strong through the crypto winter. But super cool, Travi, full circle. We started in this space a couple of years later. We're right back at it. And this is probably going to be one of the most exciting, you know, next 6 months in crypto that we've seen ever. So good time to kind of ramp things back up and get back to having conversations.
Yeah, man. And for the record, Drew did not give me financial advice. I think Drew understands it. We're all a little bit different, right? Kind of our narratives and our approach to this Web3 world. And I'm a little bit more of like an appreciator with like five O's, appreciator, right? I like music and I like art in real life. So for me, I'm always looking at what are some things the blockchain can do to make things I think that are cool in real life better. And so like, I'm trying to get involved in things that I care a lot about. And Drew, you sent me some information, and this is what I was referring to earlier, education about like the 2017 OG Pepe coin that's been out. And that's what I mean. Like, I like things that are, you know, maybe like a little bit on the OG side and maybe things I'm just like interested in general in real life. Fanzo is an explorer, you know, Fanzo in sort of Web3 and the NFT world and everything else. For those of you who don't know, Fanzo not only recorded an episode of a podcast every day for a year called NFT 365, he minted an NFT every day for a year as part of a project. And Fanzo, you have minted on, I don't know how many blockchains, double digit amount of blockchains, but I know like you and I in person, like we never talked like crypto, we never talked about meme coins. And then we find ourselves kind of all back here at the same place. And we talked about how kind of Drew really connected all the dots for us. What was it like for you in a little bit? You took a little bit of a hiatus, a much deserved hiatus, for as hard as you've worked and how many of us have followed you in your career over the last few years. What was it for you, Fanzo, that kind of in your little bit of hiatus that really brought you back, that made you interested in the meme coin world, so specifically Pepe Coin?
So, I think this is, I'll say this from I'm going to give everybody permission because I had to give myself permission. You have to give yourself permission to change your opinion on things based on new data, new experiences, new information, new world that we live in, right? I think we are so stuck in this world where if we say NFTs suck, or we say ordinals are a fad, and all of a sudden, you know, 6 months later, we realize, hey, they're doing some cool shit with ordinals. Like, it's okay to recognize, like, hey, I got new information. It's different things that are going on. I should change my opinion. And that's how I looked at it. And I, you know, people talk about NFTs being, they shouldn't have called them NFTs, right? We had this whole debate in 2021, 2022, like, oh, we should call them digital assets or stamps or passports or whatever that. And I really think the meme coin, shit coin, crypto have the worst naming of all, like, in the history, because for me, I was such a utility guy and such a community guy that like none of this made sense. And I see Dan Terrace is in the house listening to this in the spaces. And Dan, I remember from a financial side early on with NFTs, approached it from a much more like financial understanding, like crypto. And like I told people right when I got in this space, like I was looking for, you know, digital ownership that unlocked community and utility. And when I was kind of looking at like the meme coin, shit coin world, truthfully, none of that interested me because I didn't understand it. Like, I will openly admit that I didn't understand the correlation between, hey, this is a fungible item versus a non-fungible item, and that we could build community and culture and movements behind something that wasn't just a JPEG. And I've come full circle. Like, I will say, like, I think Pepe Coin and Base AI, which we'll talk about here in a second, that's, I don't consider them like there's like kind of different worlds that we're playing in right now, because like I'm trading right now on Solana, some of these shitcoin meme coins, and I'm making like 10-12x on these coins that pop up in a day and trade. And like, to me, this is like fun. It reminds me of 2021 of NFT space, where we were just kind of figuring out like, what's going to stick around? What's not going to stick around? What can we get behind? And like, I mean, to me, that's an interesting spot. But the part that came full circle was this Pepe coin. And Drew can give the context of how he discovered it. But when Drew first told me about, hey, these are the devs from 2016, I truthfully was like, okay, cool. But like, I saw what Pepe, the Pepe coin, like the other Pepe coin, that front run, this Pepe coin, I saw what they did and made a lot of people rich, which was cool. But even when that happened, and people can go back and listen to my podcast, I understood that people were rallying around it, but I still didn't dabble in it because I didn't think I understood enough of what's going on. And then I will tell you, as soon as I started diving into the devs and the team behind Pepe Coin, and I started listening to what Drew was saying, and I was like, wait, what's this based AI? And like, wait, they're building a layer one blockchain that will be able to revolutionize the AI technology and learning language models. Like, it actually truly came full circle. And if you think about it, when we think about like tech adoption, one of the biggest things with tech adoption, you know, you have timing, right? Tech adoption requires timing, but tech adoption also requires a culture and community. If anybody, you know, goes back into the days of Apple and Macintosh, you know, one of my heroes who turned into a friend of mine, Guy Kawasaki was, you know, was looked at as the guy who led the cult or the community around Apple and Macintosh, you know, before Steve Jobs was there, then when Steve Jobs left, and then when Steve Jobs came back. And there's so many people that don't remember, and this is because most people are young in this space, but there was plenty of days where Apple was the laughingstock of the technology world. And part of it was because they hadn't built that culture, that community, and the timing of their tech hadn't rolled out yet. And I think one of the things that we've been seeing over the last 5 or 10 years is that a lot of the AI, a lot of the even ChatGPT, like how many people here got excited about ChatGPT, jumped on and used it? And I would guess a majority of people listening to this, you haven't gone back to the ChatGPT website in a month or in 2 months or in 3 months. And part of that is because like technology adoption requires much more than just kind of like a flash in the pan, which is what we saw with that. And so when I saw what they're building, the dev team is building, and how it connects to Pepe Coin, this is fundamentally going to change the way that we look at AI technology, and it's going to be built from a Web3 forward-thinking development group, dev team that was in crypto before most of us even knew crypto was a thing. And to me, I mean, how can you not be excited about that? So yeah, I'm enjoying shit coins on Solana that I'm hoping go 100x, and I'm jumping. I was in Swifties this morning, which is, you know, as a proud Swiftie and girl dad, I was excited to see that thing take off. But like, to me, that isn't even bucketed in the same bucket of what Pepe Coin, you know, it has. And we can mention the white paper later. But Drew, if you want to throw in like your, I mean, because like Drew's discovery of it, I mean, he messaged me like right when he found it. And I was like, yeah, Drew, and completely ignored him. And then he tried to tell me that they were the original devs from Pepe, and I completely ignored him. He said, Coach B is getting into it. And I was like, okay, I'm still going to ignore him. And so it wasn't until I truly like was turned on by the devs that were building in this space with their head down. They're not looking for clout. They ain't looking for fame. They ain't looking for, you know, when Lambo. They were like, hey, let us build something that is going to be revolutionized and change the way that technology goes. And then we can go when Lambo and kind of blow up. So I'll kind of wrap my part on that and let Drew kind of bring the origin of Pepe Coin and how he kind of discovered it. Because, I mean, it's all we talk about pretty much all day, every day right now. But if I only would have listened to you, Drew, back in December, damn it.
Listen, Fanzo, there's a, I don't want to be that guy, but there's a handful of them in this room that people were given exposure, but for some reason, psychologically, they liked the coin a lot more at 150 mil than they liked it at 15 mil. And it's just how it works. And honestly, it's very telling to understand like how attention gets driven in the space and when do people start caring. And that's like the bigger conversation at hand, right? Is a lot of the things that I was giving out to people, you know, narrative, storyline, to me, like at first it was like first of all, we made some money on the first Pepe, right? So like, I'm always super transparent to like give that piece of background in there that there was a decision that was made early on by myself. And Fanzo, like you said it perfectly, like giving yourself permission to be like, it's, for some people, it's ego. For other people, it's like they just don't want to admit it. But there was a point in April where I made a decision. I was literally one of those people that was like, who cares if they're from 2016? This is the one that's getting picked up and being talked about heavily in my circles. And it was, you know, you compare the charts and one is starting to ascend and the other one was pretty stagnant, right? And so, you know, going back to my point of like people start to care about it a little bit more when it has, it's just like attention. It's just like momentum being that driver for people to like lean in just like a little bit more. And so, you know, when I think about meme coins now, through some of these events, it's, can we predict that we can buy now and start to see some of those triggers in the future? And that's where to me, that's where the excitement, the multiples, the real gains are being made is. And I just put this up on my Instagram story because I remember making an Instagram post last year in April on Pepe and just knowing inherently that this is going to age pretty well. You know, being in a bear market and having the NFT community really rally around just Pepe the Frog in general, it in group chats, you know, Discords, it was everywhere. And so I remember making this post. And now I can like, you know, and in a couple of months, almost be a year later, and I have this little receipt of like, man, look, we were here early. So like in a couple of years, being able to look back and have that post be a memory is a cool factor for me to understand if we can value things earlier than other people, like that's where the opportunity is. And that's where it is in stock. You know, that's where it is in being an early investor in really any type of industry. But with meme coins, the thing that, and this is something that me, Coach B, like we talk about this all the time, where it's, you know, a lot of it is delayed gratification and being able to hold. But, you know, this is where I kind of understood these guys are building something and we're valuing this before majority of the space does. And I think the charts reflected that for, you know, since April to December, the chart had reflected that, you know, people in majority did not care about the technology or what was being built or even the history of the team. And when I did my little bit of research, I kind of figured that this was something special and something way different than what we've seen, you know, with some of the other coins that we were trading. So that's where I started, you know, and that's one thing that, like, you know, I want other people to win. And I think that the space is a lot more fun, whether it's NFT trading, whether it's coin trading, whether it's building projects, whatever it might be, doing spaces. I've always been like this team oriented person. And a lot of people in my circle are like that as well, where, you know, if I just had charts up all day and I haven't showered for 3 days and like I was just doing this on my own, I think I would burn myself out and I wouldn't enjoy it as much, even if I was making gains. But there's something about being able to do this with other people that that gives it kind of like this. I think the best way to explain it is like playing video games with somebody else. Like you hop on Xbox with like your friends and you enjoy doing something together. And it's kind of like this team feeling where like it's you versus another group of traders maybe. But that's what I love about the space, is like doing it in collaboration with others. And that's why I was always like, you know, it kind of like beat me up a little bit knowing that you guys like weren't jumping in right away. And it wasn't even just the financial aspect. It's like, it gives us another, you know, something else to do in the space together. And, but listen, I think it started with fans of those feet pick NFTs. There's the I'll poop it NFTs. Like there's like these little hints and exposure points of like, that's when I was just like, this is what people are, you know, this is what's driving some of the market, as silly as it sounds. And like trying to explain to the outside world is impossible, but,
explain it to elder millennials that are like, what the hell? Like the meme culture, I mean, whatever it is, I'm 42 years old, whatever the hell happened, I missed like the meme culture boat. And so I've always relied on you to be the guy that was like, when you first posted Hezbollah, I thought it was, I didn't even know it was a meme. I couldn't figure out why that little guy was someone that was so funny that was on my, like you kept gifting me and like, I didn't even make sense. I didn't even know what the hell it was. And like, I mean, like the Pepe documentary, of course, helped a bunch to understand what Matt did as far as, you know, the art and like that. That I remember that day, Drew, that you sent me, I'm not even sure if you sent me, we were talking about it and you're like, hey, there is a documentary out there that goes over the history of Pepe, the actual frog and the art. And I remember watching that documentary and I had another one of those moments that we just talked about. I was like, shit. My entire view and understanding of Pepe was wrong. I fell into the public trap of what was, it was being misused and got, you know, kind of hijacked there. But then I didn't even go back to understand like the origin of it or where it had gone. So it's kind of funny how this all comes full circle, even on that, because that day watching that doc, and anyone that hasn't seen the documentary, I 100%, you know, 1000% go watch. I mean, I was teary eyed listening to Matt's, or like how his art got stolen and how it got, you know, repositioned, and then how he just, what he wanted to do. And I think that was one of those things where I was like, oh, okay, now I start to understand that. And now come full circle with meme coins. I mean, it's a wild world, Travi. It's kind of fun that we, you know, kind of play in these circles and we're able to admit, right? Like able to admit what we are wrong about, what we've learned more information about. And I mean, the cool part is, like, we learned it in time, because what this Pepe coin represents to me is going to be transformational. And like how freaking cool it is that we got to do that all together.
Yeah. And let's just take a beat too. Let's, you know, much love to Matt Fury. He deserves all the love and appreciation and congratulations on everything that he's been putting out lately. You know, and you're talking to the Bring One Love to Web 3 guy over here. So Pepe is love. Like, I completely understand when that documentary came out, and that brought a lot of people to want to participate in the Pepe that came out, you know, last year. But I think because of really following that origin story and, you know, getting involved in that Pepe that came out last year, and then finding out that there was something that was Pepe and had a story behind it and had things that have been going on for a really long time. And I want everyone to win, so I'm not going to FUD any other coins tonight. But I do think it's interesting when you do your research and you look at the origins, how they started, you know, what happened, where, you know, who's the devs and whatnot, and who's the people promoting the coins. And I know, Drew, I like to think that when you say something, especially you like, hey, I'm looking at it, this coin, like, you, I never really think that you know, say like, hey, I'm going to make a lot of money on it. I just think like you're saying like, hey, I'm going to try this thing out. There was something a little bit different about Pepe Coin versus the last time when we talked about, you know, the other Pepe, because the other Pepe was fun. It was like, hey, let's all rally around the frog. The spaces had thousands of people there, right? Since then, we know things have gone on with the team. People that I love in the space are you know, huge influencers and are doing, you know, great things with coins that they love. Drew, what advice can you give? Not financial advice. What advice can you give to anyone listening who says, hey, I don't really understand how to be, and I know you spoke to this. That's why I just kind of want to I really want to make sure we pound this point home. People say like, man, I'm never early to a coin, or I always buy at the top, or like I always get dumped on. Like I was one of those people like for a minute. And even I know a lot of people in this space and I still had that feeling. And I wasn't even as bad as I'm sure a lot of other people are feeling, but I was feeling bad. What advice can you give to people who don't want to really leave Web3, but they're tired of things, they're tired of NFTs that they paid a lot of money for, not really being worth as much as they paid? Certainly, we're not blaming anyone in particular for certain things, but they're just tired of that feeling. What's advice you can give to people moving forward as this meme coin madness on ETH, meme coin madness on Sol, everywhere else, that they can really get themselves involved and feeling good about the space again?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is, and this has been true for me, is like, and I've been saying this on spaces pretty much all week, is just you got to surround yourself with people that are either much smarter than you or much better than you at trading, because habits, perspectives, that knowledge is going to be downloaded into you just as a byproduct of hearing somebody else speak on, you know, certain events and what people are looking for. And so that's the number one thing. Like if you can put yourself in a group chat with people that that do this often and have been doing it for years, that's the other thing too, is like I never tout myself as an expert. I never try to come off that way, because I truly, this, you know, this is something that especially with trading crypto has been less than a year. I mean, obviously I've bought crypto in 2017. I bought NFTs in 2021. You know, made some money, lost some money. But I would say that when things flipped a switch is when I got put into a couple group chats. And it's literally just from befriending people on the timeline, getting to know them, building a relation, and asking, hey, is there a chat that, you know, can you throw me into a chat? Or is there something that you guys manage that maybe you can throw me into just so I can follow along a little bit better? And so taking that initiative to do so, that has been like the most game changing aspect of how I trade and how I learn to trade is, you know, you just follow along people that have been doing this for a long time. And so that's absolutely number one. The second thing is you just have to execute and you have to do it yourself. And, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a tuition. There's going to be a little bit of trial and error. There's definitely going to be a little bit of stress, but, in my opinion, executing and doing it yourself is that's really how you excel in this world. And I think that, you know, consistently relying on other people, and I know that's a little bit contradictory to what I just mentioned, but you kind of have to find this balance of surrounding yourself with you know, people that are better than you, and also kind of going on your own accord, where you don't want to be like totally reliant on somebody else. You don't want somebody to have to hold your hand through everything. And so I think if you can kind of like start to navigate finding a good group of people, and then also, you know, just executing, you know, consistently. Something that me and Coach B talk about at length is, you know, if you feel like you suck at something, if you feel like you're always by the top, or you feel like you're always holding too long, you know, the only way to get better at things is to practice. And so I know it sucks because, you know, there's finances being thrown around and things like that. But I think, you know, honestly, just getting in the reps is going to be probably the second most important thing of this space. I mean, I think it's, you know, Fanzo, I think you could probably speak for it too. You know, having a group that we threw you into, and then you starting to, you know, find some plays and having people to bounce ideas off of. But you're like a perfect example of this. Like you, nobody's holding your hand through this. Like you just like jumped in and started going. And I feel like you're learning at a very high rate, you know, for these last couple months. And so I think that's the ideal way, Travi. I think surround yourself and just don't be afraid to execute and be too reliant on, you know, somebody to like walk you through everything from start to finish.
Yeah, you know, I didn't. One other thing I'd throw in there, Travi, like, people always said, like, paper trading, like, you know, like, and I've heard that, like, the idea of, like, you know, rather than trading with real money, like paper trade. And that to me sounds great, but my ADHD, there's zero chance that I'm paying attention to something like updating it on paper. And so, like, what I did to, like, this example was I mean, I know ETH and, you know, I'm an ETH maxi when it comes to NFTs, right? Always have been, even though I've minted NFT on 18 blockchains, oh, now 22 blockchains, but 18 blockchains during that year. Like, I'm an ETH maxi when it comes to the NFT side, but I've always loved Solana for the idea of, like, what it offers. And so when Drew started telling me, you know, and this was, I guess maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, I decided what I did. I literally just took 3 SOL and put it into my Phantom wallet. And I said, Drew, like, I need a, how am I swapping between coins? And then he put me into a group. And rather than, like, everyone else, you know, like, has, you know, it's a little bit of an ego thing, but it's also like, when you see people, like, suggest a coin, for me, it was like, okay, why are they suggesting it? And then what are some of the trends we see? Like, I'm a very, like, analytical, like, that's the way I look at everything, right? Poker, that's the way I look at sports. Like, and so what I started doing was, I just, you know, there's a button that says 0.25 SOL. And so I would just put 0.25 SOL into coins, and I would just see what it would happen. And I, like, and to me, what was cool about that was I could try a lot of different things. Like, I got really good at waiting till it was on the trending top pair, hot pairs part of Dex Tools, and then jumping in. And that was what you call the top. And I was like, well, there goes that 0.25. Like, it was nothing. Like, it was like, shoop, it was gone. Like, and I was like, okay, if someone alerts me with a coin, I'm going to watch the chart. And when I see a considerable amount of a dip, then I'll jump in, because then at least when I was alerted, like, I, you know, and I'll tell you, like, it was 0.25, 0.25, 0.25 across the board for that, almost that entire month. And for me, what I started looking at it as was not financial, like, jumps, but percentages. Like, I started saying, okay, I just 3x'd that like idea. Okay, what does that mean? And I'll tell you, like, you know, one of the groups that Drew has me in, like, I didn't suggest a coin in there. I mean, what was it? At least 3 weeks I was in that chat. Like, I didn't suggest one for people to keep an eye on, because I didn't, like, I needed to learn. And I mean, I have that, you know, addictive personality. And so I just spent hours looking at the charts, understanding the coins, understanding, okay, what is a bunch of Telegram people mean? Like, how are people rugging these coins? Like, to me, that's like all of, like, part of this, like, the beauty of these pieces. And it reminds me a lot of what we did in the NFT days in 2021 and 2022. Like, I researched the shit out of every whitelist, every free mint, everything that existed. And then we started to see trends. We started to see, like, okay, who are the good people? Like, the one that I got into this morning, I literally just opened up who the Twitter account was following and who was following them back. And I was like, hey, 8 of those people were also in a coin that I was in 3 days ago that held pretty well. Okay, that's a variable that I like, it's one variable. I'll use that as a variable, and I'll put a little bit in and see how it goes, right? Like, and I think that to me has been a lot of fun on that side of it. The other side that Drew said that I think is really important is, like, the ability to hold is so freaking hard in this coin. I just want to be raw. Like, it is, and I think there's a difference between holding a shit coin and not taking your profits on the way up versus holding on a coin that you have. Like, I mean, like, to me, Pepe coins is not anything that I plan on taking cash out, or I'm all in. Like, I am all in and probably just continuing to buy more, because I believe in what they're building. 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10. Like, I was sitting at a soccer game today, and my daughter plays the soccer, and, you know, she's been on the same team for 4 years. I've been in NFTs for 4 years. I have not brought up NFT investing to the soccer parents one time, mainly just because I knew that they didn't understand JPEGs. As soon as I would mention the word crypto, they would be confused. But today, as we're getting rained on at my daughter's soccer game in between games today, I created a circle of 3 people that I know are very, wealthy is not the right word, but very, very attuned to understanding like trends. And I said, hey, I finally have something that I think you guys might want to do some research on. And what I had done was I had taken the link for the white paper and said, hey, here's the white paper. I'm going to send you an email with a little breakdown of what I think this white paper means for the technology. And then if you guys want to get in and buy some Pepe coins to kind of become, an investor in what they're building, we'll get on the phone and do that. And all four of them were like, man, I can't believe, like, is this that stuff that I've seen you talking about on social media? And I was like, well, I didn't want to bring any of you in. So like, to me, it's such a different world. Like I'm playing at 0.25 to understand meme coins in one world, where in the other world, I'm going to people offline and being like, I have an opportunity for you to get into something that is truly going to be a game changer. And it's okay to play in both of them. I just think it's important to understand, like, I'm not looking at the charts on Pepe coin for like flipping out of it versus I am looking at like Benji, which is Taylor Swift's cat, which was a Solana meme coin that I really liked. Right. So like, I just think it's like, if you're not in this space, everybody can bundle all of this together and it can really get like mucky. And I just think it's important to kind of understand the difference between like a coin that is being used to invest and fund developers versus a coin that is creating a movement and has like a meme quality of community. Is that, did I say that right about Drew?
Yeah, no, the only thing that I want to throw in there, and Travis, I'll shoot it back to you, is, we all have to take a step back and just kind of, you know, it's funny because people are like, oh, this stuff doesn't matter. It's literally just a meme or whatever it might be. But there's a couple like factors that need to come together for teams to, you know, see like true success, or not even teams, just for the overall coin to see success. And the first one is what you mentioned. There needs to be a large percentage of the holders that hold it. Yeah, that aren't, you know, that aren't battering it down with swing trading or that aren't selling way too early. A majority of these coins, for them to really take off, and maybe that doesn't even happen until, you know, I think what we saw with Whiff on Solana, the dog Whiff hat meme, is, you know, the team and developers took profit extremely early and sold, and then it became community driven. And then from that point on, there's a large majority of holders that held. And so, you know, for people to hold that, that's what kind of needs to happen for any of this even be possible. And then the second thing that you mentioned, the meme has to have cultural relevance and it needs to be somewhat significant. And, I was watching the Matt Fury documentary. At this point, I've seen it probably like 7-8 times. And I actually bought it and I was like, I just need this for whenever I need like a little bit of that Pepe inspiration, I just toss it on. But there is some type of a professor that went over just like the theory of memes and memetics and the idea that it's this, you know, it's like culture popping up, these ideas, these trends that pop up, and through time, realizing which ones stick around, right? And so when you think about meme coins, you think about memes, look, there's a handful of meme coins that popped up. There's thousands of meme coins that popped up over the last couple of months. And some of them are in the graveyard and some of them survived, right? So very similar to us seeing memes in today's world, whether it's, you know, a boxer knocking somebody out or somebody on stage or whatever it might be. There's a handful of ways that these things are created. They get shipped around for 1-2 weeks and some of them stick around for a long time and some of them die out. And so, you know, the two factors I think we're looking at, Fanzo, with meme coins that you were mentioning is, are people holding it long enough for even to see success? And is the meme culturally relevant enough and strong enough to kind of continue on? And Pepe is everywhere in Web3, whether it's NFTs that are being dropped, you know, the probably like 200, 300, 400 coins, you know, that are Pepe related that have been dropped. And then if you just look on the timeline and group chats, you know, Pepe is always being used in memes. And so, you know, it's one of those things that it became really clear in that documentary how important this character was in internet culture and why it's kind of seeing success right now. And Fanzo, I think, I don't know if you saw this, but we put out a tweet today with Fortnite having a Pepe character introduced into their game. And so that was something that was totally new, but it's just like, it's just so clear that this is its kind of moment. This is its time. And it's almost like resurrection and kind of like a new opportunity for the character to be kind of represented in good light. And so it's an exciting time for any team, but for a team that's legitimately building things on blockchain and utilizing meme coins as a means to support a bigger vision, similarly to a company releasing, you know, its public options and having stockholders. That's what we're seeing with this coin and what makes it totally different. But Travi, I'll shoot it back over to you.
Yeah, what's interesting to me too is Pepe, at least the Pepe coins that we're, you know, most focused on today, is a little bit more than just a meme. And before we come back to that, I want to go full circle. You know, Fanzo talked about, you know, a lot of things that he did on different blockchains and got into some of the Solana side of the meme coins. And, you know, Fanzo, you've dabbled a lot with art and AI art, and my PFP and podcast logo is, you know, one of your pieces of art. And somebody who was here in the crowd, I think they just had to step down, is Alyssa. And Alyssa is an artist who does some really cool AI stuff and puts it out on Solana, on the Solana blockchain. And, you know, we talked a little bit, like, what is it? What do people have to think about? Like, how do they get in early? How do they get in early to things? Well, I think one of the reasons why we've seen Solana do so well is because, like, there's not a whole lot of people right now, I guess, you know, comparative to ETH, you know, who are, you know, comfortable opening a new wallet and getting involved in all that. And it's a little bit of a barrier to entry for a lot of people. So, you know, once they get involved in there and they see, holy cow, like, this is a real thing, it's a little bit easier for some of the things to sell and then sell off. But then, you know, when you have a community really rallying around it, like we're seeing with certain coins, specifically, you know, some that we've seen, you know, on ETH and stuff, it's interesting to see the long-term value in that. You know, and Fanzo, speaking of AI, I think that brings us kind of back to where we're at with Pepe Coins based AI. There's a lot that you've spoken about, even kind of toward the end of your, you know, previous season of your podcast. AI was a big part of it. And the white paper just came out, as you guys mentioned. I've read this thing a couple times. I know Coach has this thing memorized already. We have to talk a little bit about this, because what the Pepe Coins team is doing is, yes, of course, there's the Pepe meme, and the Pepe meme has a lot of coins, right? A lot of meme coins. But this particular Pepe coin has a lot of really interesting components to it that I think that's what people are starting to see and recognize that makes it a little bit different. I think that's why we've seen a little bit of price action, you know, in a positive direction, because a lot more people are saying, oh, this is not just one of those things that's just a picture of, you know, a dog or a picture of a frog and this and that. I think we want people to understand that these devs, Drew, I think you spoke to this in the beginning, they're not coming out doing a whole lot of, hey, look at us, right? They want to be judged on what they put out, their products, right? Their services, and not just like the value of a coin. And because of that, I think a lot of people, especially the people who have kind of seen a thing or two go up and down and kind of not so happy, saying, wow, these people are really building something cool. So Fanzo, here we are with Pepe Coins based AI, this brain stuff. I saw your Twitter video where you had a big whiteboard and you were making, sorry, your X video. Sorry, I don't want to get canceled. Your X video where you put up everything on the whiteboard, making connections, and this leads to this. I don't want to overwhelm anybody tonight, but I want people to know a little bit about what they can do. If they did buy Pepe Coin, if they staked it, there'll be a burning mechanism. They can earn based AI by staking. They can earn this, the brain thing that leads to this, the large language model. There's a lot of really cool stuff that comes on the heels of this. It's more than just a meme coin. And I think there's a lot of value in that to a lot of people who are, like you said at the beginning, looked down upon things that they thought just NFTs, crypto, things that had kind of yucky, you know, words to that. And, you know, Fanzo, here we are, man. Yeah. So you had a chance to break it all down. Why don't you get us started a little bit on what you were able to kind of take away from that white paper? Drew, feel free to hop in. Again, I looked at it. I kind of know the basics of it, but there's a lot of really cool components that I feel like you can earn passively. Sorry, I'm not saying you are going to earn money passively, but I'm saying according to the white paper, you can earn tokens passively. There's a lot of really cool things to it, Fanzo. Why don't you start break us down a little bit?
Yeah, so I think one of the things to think about, right? I think devs in this space are the true heart of what is being innovated and really the beauty that is Web3, right? Being able to build and you know, adapt using the blockchain, using AI, pretty much innovating and using technology. And so when you looked at like the pepecoin.io website, right? Like the website, for anyone that hasn't been there, it's worth just going to the website alone. Like the nostalgia, the innovation in the website is there. But what this team is building from a product perspective, right, is to me stands on its own outside of crypto, outside of all of that. And that's what I learned in the white paper. And the way I'll put it this way is, a lot of people have heard the term, the concept of AI. One of the things with AI is that AI right now, people are either all in with it because they, you know, they're excited that they no longer need to hire, you know, a ghostwriter or whatever it may be, or they don't have to ask their friends stupid questions. They can now just ask ChatGPT stupid questions. But one of the you know, there's many things that have come up. And one of the big things that comes up with it is privacy. Privacy of data, privacy of how, you know, how data is used, how data is exchanged, who owns the data, all of those things kind of exist within AI. And then there's also aspects of when you start building these AI models, most of the time when you start adding on components that aren't as that kind of limit the AI, one of the things that happens is it also limits the technology functionality, right? It is no longer as robust. You're not able to actually, kind of put out some computations that are at the speed or at the size that we would look for with AI, and it almost renders it kind of useless. And so what this team has been building, and I think this is the cool part, because yes, PepeCoin has been out there for a while, but the reason most people weren't aware of Based AI, including myself, was because they were waiting until they actually were building things before they even brought it up or had people caring about it, right? And so there's many things within the white paper that was rolled out as far as the technology. They have a couple things like that allow you this zero knowledge, this privacy aspect. So like, why would that matter? Well, right now, if a company, let's say in healthcare, or a company in cybersecurity, or the U.S. government, right? I used to work for the Department of Defense here in the United States. I, traveled to 52 countries and around the world helping deploy cybersecurity solutions at military bases. Well, one of the biggest limitations on them in, integrating AI would be, how would they do that in a privacy model? How would they do that in understanding what data was shared? How was it, being shared? All of those things are massive concerns with the current AI, the learning language models that exist today. And so what they're building ultimately, and this is what, is kind of like the most exciting part of this whole thing, is they're building a layer one, which right now it's focused on this learning language model, but it could be even bigger than that, that is actually focused on allowing privacy to be putting privacy at the forefront, but allowing it without having to compromise performance. And so for those that are like, okay, now I understand that they're building something bigger, the other part of this is they have dynamic tokenomics in there so that you can hold PepeCoin and you can be an investor in what they're building. You can stake your PepeCoin and right now you can earn Based AI, but then you can also, you can get involved because you can be an owner of what they're calling brains, which would be, if you think about it from the standpoint, it's what the miners are using with their GPU resources to kind of maximize how they're using this AI model. So what they're doing, and from this standpoint, and remember, I haven't had the privilege of talking to the team yet, so this is my own, how I'm taking this from the white paper and from the people that I know that are involved, and I'm looking forward to being able to talk to the team more. But I will tell you, the cool part is, the tokenomics aspect of it is they're rewarding all aspects of people that are using, from the users to the validators to the miners to those that are the investors. You'll be able to be a part of what is being built and the innovation that is being kind of grown from here. So to me, that is what is most exciting. I mean, I'm looking at my yellow papers on the wall right now, right? I have six yellow papers on the wall. I've easily spent about 100 hours on the tech side of this, just from just for context, in 2011, I was brought into IBM as one of IBM's first machine learning alpha testers. And so much of what we learned back then was that it's going to take so much GPU power. It's going to take so much innovation. We have to change so many things before this becomes adopted, right? And most people didn't even really understand IBM Watson when it was rolled out, other than the fact that it was part of Jeopardy. But I will tell you, in my career going full circle, as I see what this team is being built, you know, through the white paper, this is kind of full circle going to be an innovative technology that's going to really stand on its own. And the beautiful thing is it's going to have crypto and tokenomics built into it that allows anyone to participate pretty much in the ways that that you want to, from everything from staking coin to, you know, being a miner or a validator, or even, you know, one of the, you know, I'd say the 1,024 spots, which are considered brain owners. But I think just to translate the geek speak the best way I can, if it's a privacy first a learning language model that they're allowing, that they're being, that's being built without, you know, without compromising performance, which, you know, is something that the entire AI space needs. You're going to hear more about this over the next couple of weeks. There's the big NVIDIA conference. There's a Google AI conference that's happening at the end of the month. And so much of that's going to be talking about what are the limitations, what are some of the things that exist today in the AI world that need to be either leveraged, or how do we transform them? And one of those components is how do we increase the privacy component? And that's what Based AI is being built. And like I said, this is from me reading a white paper, doing a little bit of, you know, investigation, talking to some people that have been involved in the project, but I haven't been able to talk to the team. So if I misspoke, or if some of that maybe is not exactly how it, you know, went out, definitely just go, you know, check out the white paper. And like I said, I'm going to create some content around this from what I'm learning and how I'm kind of breaking it down. But I don't know if you could tell, but I'm excited. From like that side of it, like I might be more excited for what the technology means than what the investment in this, something like this is going to be for the, you know, entire space.
It's so true. There's so many things to be excited about. And Drew, you can speak to this too, because even prior to all the cool things Fanzel just mentioned that are being built, we got in, you know, whatever, November, December, maybe even a little bit earlier. And the devs were rewarding holders who were staking at that time. Obviously, it's been around for way before that, but that's when I found out about it. And we were able to stake, able to earn Based AI token. They also rewarded the holders who staked certain amounts of coins, being able to claim NFTs that will have value in the future in their ecosystem that they're building. Not only that, they've got this Pepe paint within the website. And the first time I went on the website, I asked Drew, I was like, is this a mistake? Because it looks like an old-fashioned website. And then I realized the more I looked at it, like, oh, they're doing that on purpose for nostalgia. And what I also realized, too, was they were building a way for you as a Pepe holder, to a Pepe coin holder, to utilize that to create your own artwork and stamp it on the blockchain and sell it as an NFT to anybody who wants to buy it, right through the site there, and you can, you know, find all that stuff on, you know, OpenSea or wherever you buy your NFTs and stuff. But Drew, there's a lot that they've already done, but it feels like there's a whole lot more coming. What's your take on that? What's your take on the kind of the history of that, the AI component, and all the staking, everything else?
Yeah, there's two main points I want to make. The first one is, you know, when Fanzel was kind of going through that flow, it kind of made me realize that if I took the Pepe character out of the equation and I just shared the features, the products, the technology that was being built to Fanzel months ago, that he probably would have jumped in day one. And he would
Yes, 100%. 1,000%.
I was like thinking that when you were talking, I'm like, oh shit, I shouldn't have said, hey, Fanzel, go look up Pepe coin. What I should have done is, hey, look, these guys have been building, you know, NFT infrastructure before, you know, before OpenSea. They've been building ways for community members to create memes and art and sell it, you know, and have it be mintable all in one operating system. They're building trading bots. And by the way, they're tackling decentralized AI. If I would have led with that, Fanzel, dude, you would have been in there. You probably would have aped faster than I did. And but
well, that's a good lesson for everybody, right? When you're positioning any of these type of projects, right? Like, and to your point, Drew, like I'm in the crypto space enough. Like, I should have jumped in based on what you had already told me. But you're correct. Like, if you would have positioned and said, "Hey, these devs are building something where like the coin is there, but they're going to build something so much so valuable from a technology perspective that the coin will be the just an equation in there. And here's the technology. They're kind of I would have aped in a freaking heartbeat."
And so it kind of brings me to the point of how we value these things. And I recently had kind of just like a quick story. Like it was kind of just a life realization for me. You know, like there's a lot of us here that care about NFTs, and a lot of people in the world, majority of the world, that doesn't understand and they don't care. And there's a few things in the world that a lot of people can align on, right? And I was at a conference. This was probably 2 months ago, and there's a guy, you know, twice my age, and we were both just like, we got really like excited talking about Rolex watches. And it was like two different generations. This guy had an earring, like a super old guy with an earring. And that's when I knew, like, man, we're just so different, like just different, way different upbringings and cultures. But we both valued something like a Rolex watch. And we were talking about, you know, which ones that we were kind of looking after, which ones we'd want to, you know, pick up. And me and this guy have pretty much like nothing in common except for this one thing. And it made me realize that there's some things in this world that people can kind of align on and value. And the reason why I like this Pepe Coins just whole ecosystem and team so much is I think that there's things that we, you know, as a space could all have something that we align with within their ecosystem. And so for some people, it could be a meme coin. For some people, it could be the narrative. Fanzo, for you, could be the decentralized AI technology that's being built, right? So there's a lot of different factors here that could draw people in and put us in the same category and mission for wanting to be an early investor and want to see this thing through with the vision of the team. And so that's something else that I wanted to throw in there is there's just so much versus, you know, on the flip side with other coins, there's essentially nothing. There's only price go up, price go down, and maybe the meme can carry it so far. But that's the one thing that I think is totally different here, and it's really just a matter of time. And I think for people that can hold it and see that vision, at least put out wide enough and spread wide enough for people to understand. Similar to you and Fanza, right? Like, you know, like I shared this thing to a handful of people, and you know, for some people it made sense, they jumped in. For some people, they needed to see it play out and fully understand what was behind the scenes and kind of, you know, under the hood. And so it's only a matter of time before more people see what's under the hood and realize that this is something significant. And so, yeah, Travi, I wanted to throw that last part in there as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. It gets me thinking a lot too about just like what we're excited about overall in Web3, right? The NFT space, the crypto space, the token space, the meme coin space, just the blockchain being able to do really cool things and then put some stuff out there, art, music, etc. It kind of makes me think a little bit too. Like, I'm curious overall, you know, the market is very different, Fanzo, than it was when you started NFT 365. You and Drew had the conversation, back in like 2021. And, you know, it was a very different market, but similar in the aspects of there were things to trade, there was activity, there were people excited. I'm curious what makes you guys excited right now in this Web3 space. And I'll start with this. I think personally, like, seeing people win, as cheesy as it sounds, that makes me excited because I've been here and I've seen so many people come and go that have, and I myself was feeling it, but I just couldn't leave when it was low. I just couldn't do it because there was a lot of education around. And to be honest, Drew, and you spoke to this earlier, when there's a bear market, there's a lot less, not only activity, but like people, a lot less noise. So the connections you can make with one another, like I don't know that I would have had as many amazing guests on my podcast if it was, you know, the 2021, you know, bull run and all that stuff. So what makes me excited is looking at communities that are still rallying together, but that are not just community run. And the reason I'll say that is because even whether I'm in an NFT community or not, I'm still aware of who the active founders are. So I think of Ben, right? I think of Killabears. And I look back, Fanzo, I think we recorded an episode on season 2 of NFT 365, and there was kind of like the burning, right? The Killabears burning thing that was going on. I was like, oh, this is cool. This is something that's trendy at the time. It was a little bit different. It kind of got me excited during a bear market. And I'm looking now, and I'm seeing community spaces. I'm seeing Ben active as a founder in chats, on the timeline, like liking and retweeting things. That's what you want in a founder. That's what you want in somebody who's running a project. You want to know that they're actively doing something. It doesn't always mean they're public facing, but it means that you know that you have a little bit of a respect of the fact that, hey, I put some of my ETH or my soul or whatever toward this thing, and it's not just kind of going up, right, in smoke or whatever. To me, community may be different than it was in 2021, right? We all thought we were part of a community when really it was just like everybody just wanted the number to go up and get dumped on. You see people really sticking around. You see the products that the Killer Bears are putting out, the things that people are able to order with some of the, you know, the logos and the pictures and the bears. Like, there's a lot of really cool things. Other than that, I got to say, like, over the last, you know, going back a few months, there hasn't really been a lot for me personally. There were some artists that are doing some really cool things. I was able to buy some art. Music, I think having music on the blockchain is something that is incredibly intriguing. But there wasn't a whole lot. Then I saw a couple things happening and communities forming around different things, whether it was a coin, whether it was, you know, somebody who's just doing a lot in the space. So I don't know, I guess that all of that is to just say, when you have a lot of faith in the people running a project, to me, that's what makes me excited. And Drew, you spoke to a Twitter space I ran back in 2022, right? Early part of 2022 for a project that no longer exists. Well, that was an owner who came. That was an owner who was able to take some funds and then they disappeared. And that was just it. And I, being like a member of like the Discord team, had no idea that was going to happen. And that hurts. That hurts. I can't imagine what some of the, I mean, and I bought those NFTs, right? Same thing for other things that I was like an advisor for. These things just disappear. And you're just like, what the heck is going on? So right now, you know, being a little bit seasoned in this game here, having a respect for people running a project is more important to me than really floor price or anything else, because I have faith that no matter what that price is, whether it's a coin or a floor price of an NFT, that thing is going to, at some point, you know, reflect the value of what that owner is doing. But anyway, what makes you guys excited? What, Fanzo and Drew, what makes you guys excited right now in this kind of Web3, hopefully, start of a really good bull run?
Yeah, I think the first one, Travi, you kind of mentioned, is like seeing other people win. And you know, it sounds cliche, but it's a byproduct of us not giving up. You know, like, there's been a handful of like friends of mine who, you know, they've gotten like crushed in the trading world over the last couple of weeks, months. And they're pretty close to the point where they're just like, man, like, it's such a string of bad luck. It's such a string of defeat that I need to take a break. And in my head, like, I'm just like, I'm not letting this guy drop out right now, because we've been essentially like, you know, we've been like in the trenches for months getting beat up. And now, you know, we're going to have a lot more opportunity these next couple months as the market, you know, obviously Bitcoin's flying, everything's going with it. There's a lot more energy, there's a lot more attention, there's a lot more liquidity flowing. And so it's like it's a really tough time to like see people, you know, like give up right now or not be an active participant. And you don't have to be a gambler, you know, you don't have to go to live pairs and try to ape, you know, coins that just pop out and hope to hit, you know, 100,000x. And that's why, you know, we're starting to support and align with these teams that, just like you mentioned, Travi, like Ben from Killer Bears has been extremely active through all parts. I mean, they were literally born in the bear and saw their all time high to bear. And so I'm excited for projects like that. I'm excited for projects that have mainstream adoption. You know, we look at like Starbucks NFT program. You know, Fanzo is very friendly with those guys over there. We were lucky to be at the first ever in person event at NFT NYC, which is like a super. If you like really think about it, like, it's super cool, Fanzo, that like we're in that picture and we were there in the first ever meetup at that headquartered location in New York. I like things like that, Travi. I like things that you know, where people are being rewarded for essentially not giving up, and then also championing the champions, right? The, you know, like Killer Bears having, you know, a lot of Web2 plans in their vision, Pudgy Penguins, like getting Walmart. I mean, I've never in my life been excited to go to Walmart or been excited about Walmart or being inside of Walmart at all. But when Pudgy, and I wasn't even a holder at the time, I held a little Pudgy for a little bit, but I went to Walmart twice and to go pick up a stuffed animal. So it's like, you know, things like that are exciting. Seeing the Walmart, you know, the official Twitter, you know, talking about an NFT, like things like that are very exciting to me. But I had one more last thought, Travi, to what Fanzo was saying a little bit earlier. A lot of things that are happening, especially in this Pepe Coins project, decentralized AI, there's a lot of things that kind of go over my head. But I also have to like realize this kind of happened with NFTs and crypto, in my opinion, where we were kind of put into this mode that we needed to be very technical to participate. And it's only because we were so early. You know, like I had a conversation with somebody and we were talking. I just told him, like, you know, how websites are built now is drastically different than how it was 10 years ago and how we even interact on social. Thinking about like MySpace, where you kind of had to like learn HTML and you're taking code snippets and you're to add music, to add backgrounds. You're doing all this kind of technical stuff that that would probably be even hard for somebody to do today, even though they're doing it on MySpace, you know, years ago. Things are just different. And today we don't need to understand the tech at such a high level and technical level. It's just we understand what problems they solve. And Fanzo, like you've been bringing that up a ton recently. It's really connecting where it's like, why do I need to understand the technology and readability of a contract? You know, like I just need to understand what this contract does for me as the user. And that's really all I feel like I need to understand to be able to participate in this space. And so, you know, with the white paper, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of information that comes out from the team, explaining use case in the real world. And it's just kind of a reminder. It's like, if you don't understand it, you know, that you shouldn't be like ashamed or you shouldn't be, it shouldn't deter you. I think, you know, even NVIDIA is like a perfect example. Was like, I don't understand anything that's being done behind the scenes, but you're watching it be highly valued by the whole world. And I think that that's like just a reminder as, you know, like learn what it's solving, you know, learn how to be early, but you don't necessarily need to be that technical person, or you just have like a Fanzo or somebody like that in your life to explain some of this stuff. But yeah, Fanzo, I'll kind of throw it over to you, but it was just kind of reminiscent to like early NFTs where it's like, why did I need to go to Etherscan and, you know, type in these various boxes and try to mint something from the contract? Like we were just there so early that I feel like we were forced to be technical. Where, you know, the world, the future of NFTs is going to be Starbucks, where you're transacting, you're being rewarded for being a loyal customer and you don't even know it's on blockchain. I think that that's going to be the ultimate experience. And we're still navigating towards that end goal. But it's just interesting to realize you don't have to be a developer. You know, you don't have to be that MySpace developer to get your social profile developed.
And being early is so exhausting. And Fanzo, as a digital futurist, you've got to feel like 100 years old. You're so early all the time to things. And, you know, everything Drew said is so true. What is your take, man? I mean, we were early. I feel like we're still a little early to the Pepe coins. There's still a lot of really fun things to do. What's getting you excited? You know, I know you said a lot of things that made you excited about Pepe coins. What's keeping you kind of in the game? What's got you back in? What's keeping you excited about Web3 and everything else?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a perfect, I mean, it's like Drew knew how to set me up perfectly. It's like we've done hundreds and hundreds of hours of conversations together. And Travi, I love the way you kind of set the table here. You mentioned earlier that I took a break and I just want to be like, kind of fully transparent. It was a mental health break and it was, I kind of broke and I think I broke mentally because of that. In a, like, I love to be in the bleeding edge. Like I always joke, like my favorite thing to do was to jailbreak my iPhone. Like I would get home from my tech job and jailbreak my iPhone. Now, like, funny enough, like I'm not a gamer. Like I don't have a video console. I don't play online games, but like I love emerging technology. But one of the things with emerging technology is this idea of like, you're trying so hard to help people see the light and like to like I only care about technology if it makes our world a better place. I give two shits about technology for technology's sake. And I've said that like that's been the key to my career. My career has been I translate the geek speak. And in many cases, I help people remove technology where it doesn't make sense. And then like, hey, let's look at technology. Like I'm so bullish on AI, yet I'm also so bullish on the idea that And the idea that we could get hours back in our day and still produce the same amount of things and get paid the same amount of money, yet maybe we stop having to work 10 and 12 hours a day and we can use something like AI to give us back that time so we can spend more time as fathers, as mothers, as sons. Like, to me, that's what, you know, gets me most excited. And I'll tell you, like, last year when this whole AI kind of thing was kind of emerging, what really happened was I got so overwhelmed trying to stay on top of all of the AI changes. And I truthfully, people were hiring me to speak at their events on like where AI is going with ChatGPT and all the tools. And it got to me. There's just so much. And it got to me to the point where I was depressed. I was struggling to get out of bed, struggling. I mean, it was really rough. And I say that all because, you know, I didn't do a great job of taking care of myself. I didn't do a great job of being okay with not having to be on the front of everything. And I love that Drew brought that up because, like, it's so funny that, like, Drew and I earlier today were going back about ordinals and trying to get inscriptions on ordinals and what wallets. And, like, our conversation today, Drew, is, like, no one in their right mind that is not in this space right now would want to deal with, like, I mean, I see Coach B was posting like which wallet to use and don't use the wrong address within the wallet of the ordinal that we have going on. And part of that is like, we are that early, but to your like question on like what excites me, it's twofold. I believe this bull run will be the first bull run that rewards innovation and technology. I believe last bull run, if your NFT project or if your meme project or even your blockchain project was innovative, it was looked at as too slow and it wasn't rewarding. I would tell you, if I looked at every project, like, it's why I think Killabears is one of the most undervalued projects that are there in the entire market. They've been innovating since day freaking one, yet our space didn't look at that. I mean, I'm rocking a Killabear right now as my PFP, so I'm a little bit biased now. But I like, for me, the thing I'm most excited about is like, we are going to see innovation rewarded. And I believe partially that is because there are just shitty people that have been in this space that have taken advantage of people. There are devs that were bad humans that built in back doors just so that they could rug people. And there were people that looked at this space as like, hey, I can get in, make some quick money and get out. But the truth of the matter is, if the devs and the leaders that are technology driven, innovative focused, understand culture and community, those are the ones that we can get behind now. Because here's the kicker. I want to get behind people and projects that can survive the next bear market. I did not think like that last bull run. I was naive. I was like, oh, I know, you got to take profits and you got to prepare for the bull run to end and the bear to come. What the hell does that mean? Like, what does that really mean for anybody that's in this space? And what I figured out that it means is that technology will not be impacted by the next bear market. Great people, great innovators, great leaders will continue to thrive through the next bull run, into the next bear, into the next bull, and will continue to be the ones that we could get behind. And so for me, I spread myself thin, really thinking about it was community driven, and I still love community. But community behind vaporware and no leadership will die after the bull run. But I truly believe those that are innovators and those that are great leaders in this space, if we get behind them, we can ride through the bull run. We can all be rewarded. Yes, we is greater than me. But I truly believe those are who will be around in the next bear. And that to me is where my head is focused. And then the second thing I'll just throw in is, you know, as an adult, it's really hard to make friends. And I say that, you know, I'm in my house. I don't have my daughters this weekend. I am, you know, super excited for the UFC fight tonight. I'm a big Sean O'Malley fan. And I'm excited. And I'll be sitting on the couch watching that by myself. But because of these little pictures, because of these communities, I got to hang out with all of my friends here on stage. We're talking about things that we care about. There are people in the audience that I'm in, you know, Telegram groups with, DM chats with. There are people that we're going to be able to see in New York when we go to New York. Like, to me, like, the thing that I'm still like really excited about is like there is an element of like finding your people, connecting with people that you probably would have never crossed the path with. And Travi, I'll kick it back to you. Like, I mean, I remember when we first connected, you were like, hey, I'm here for the art and the music. And I was like, hey, I'm here for the technology and the community. Like, where the hell do we overlap? Like, our worlds don't overlap. Like, Drew came and saw me speak at an event in 2018, and we connected over the fact that we both liked hockey. Like literally, that's how we connected. And I say all of that because, like, it's really hard to connect with people or find people that you're connected with. Like, Coach B is here in the audience. I know we've mentioned him a couple of times. I mean, Coach B is a world-renowned, you know, coaching specialist. Like, I mean, an amazing human that I don't think I would have even had the pleasure of coming across if it wasn't for this crazy JPEG technology. And I can tell you, like, I'm cheering for his hockey team because I know that, like, it's what he cares about, and they're on for another run for, you know, national championship. And like, and so I think for everyone that's here, you know, we talk about like, hey, community is what, you know, gets us through. I would just say, like, it's the people. And if you can just find during this bull run, 4 or 5 or 2 or 3 people that become your people, like, that is worth all of this stuff that we're in here for. And I think there's some amazing communities. We probably mentioned just about all of them here in this space today. But like, I look at that now and be like, man, as much as it was hard for me this summer and this fall when I was really struggling mentally, I don't want to even think about what it would have been like if I didn't have my people that I met in this Web3 space. And so, you know, I know, Travi, you know, you and I connect on that one love aspect, and we've, you know, been able to travel around, and Drew, all three of us, we've been able to be in different countries together, different events. And I think the beauty of that is, like, you know, we need more good people in our lives. And if the vehicle for those good people in our life is some meme coin that we're trading or some NFT that we're enjoying or some telegroup that we're a part of, so freaking be it. I'm really bullish on that. So that's where my head is at. I'm excited about innovation being rewarded. And more so than anything, I'm just really excited to connect with more great people and add great people to my circle.
Oh, Fanzo, I'm so glad you're back. You MF-er, you really bring everyone back together, reminding me of this. One of the conversations we had in 2022 at NFT NYC for your podcast, we did talk about imposter syndrome, right? How everybody has some degree of imposter syndrome, because look around this room. You got a bunch of beautiful cartoon faces, right? There's real people behind these PFPs. Not everybody feels comfortable to speak in a space. Not everyone feels like they're able to make it to an event, but they're involved. They're listening. They're maybe in a group with you. Maybe they were in a Discord with you. I think what's important, as you mentioned, Fanzo, it's the people. And, you know, mention Coach B. I remember in 2022, man, there was this big party at NFT NYC. I think we were all there. It was the Lazy Lions were like the top of the game. And I see this guy and I'm just like, are you Coach B? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm Travi. And right there, just gigantic hug, right? Same thing when I met you for the first time. Same thing when I met Drew for the first time. And that's what we want that feeling of Web3 to really be. Sure, does it feel like player versus player because we're tired of getting dumped on by people who like got in, you know, and were whales super early? Yeah, we're tired of that, right? But we can do things together that we is greater than me, as you always said, is the exact same thing as I always say, which is bringing one love to Web3, right? And I mean, just most recently, right, that Bob Marley movie came out called One Love. What's the point of that movie? The point of the movie is that no matter what's going on politically, what's going on in the world, something can bring everybody together to remind you that we're all people. We're all in the same playing field. So yeah, being a creator and being somebody who's involved as the founder of a team, like we talked about, you and I fans were really excited about that. Drew is a founder of a project, but Drew, I've got a lot more value from Drew just being a connector, right? Drew is just always saying, hey, Travi, I want you to talk to so-and-so, or, you know, join this group and you can meet these other people. There's a lot that we root for each other on, but there's a lot of people doing things in this space that we might not even realize. Like Alyssa.ada is in the crowd tonight. Please give her a follow. She's an artist and puts out her work on Solana, and she's got some of the really amazing, like super nostalgic, like it's AI and it's really cool stuff. And Fanzo, you know that we kind of bonded a little bit over AI art. Like I put out a couple AI things myself, just playing with that. And what we're all going to start to see, and you see it trending, whether you're looking at, you know, coin market cap or anything else, is this kind of crypto AI, blockchain AI, this technology that's really at the forefront of everyone's mind. If you're watching these influencers, right, you're watching like Ilio Trades or Alex Becker, what are they talking about? They're talking about small cap and they're talking about AI in crypto. And I think we're at a point now where it's early enough that I felt comfortable putting money that I really didn't want to spend into something that I thought was really cool. And that to me, just to bring it all back together, and I met a lot of people in this community, is this Pepe coins. And to me, staking those Pepe coins and getting based AI, which like, I don't even really, I'm like, holy cow, now it's worth this. Like, to me, I'm in a group chat with some thought leaders, you want to quote unquote thought leaders, people who are really smart, really influential people who are just talking about Web3, talking about things that they find to be exciting and the future of what we can do with this technology. And no one's really in there to kind of like going like that old school way of like floor price this or that. So there's a lot of great things. And I implore you, if you are just listening to this and you're thinking about how to get involved in Web3 and you kind of have a little bit of that imposter syndrome, just go in, just jump into something that you feel connected to. And Fanzo, I'm glad to see you rocking a Killer Bear PFP, not just because the Killer Bears community is strong, but the one thing that you had talked about was when you were buying an NFT every day for a year, that you would never feel completely connected to one community. And I'm glad to see that you're feeling connected to Killer Bears. And kind of a side story, and I know we're going to throw it back to Drew in a second because he's the meme father, and that's kind of what brought us all here together. You know, I had a chance on the podcast to interview one of my favorite drummers from a band that I followed since like the early 2000s. That was called Pepper. His name was Yassad Williams, and I met him through some of these communities, right? And I asked him at the end, we talked a lot about Pepper the band because they were one of the bands when Sublime, the original Sublime lead singer Bradley Nowell passed away. There are only a couple of bands that really carried on that tradition of what that reggae rock was. And if it wasn't for bands like Pepper, we would never have these sold out big festivals that we have today. But I met Yassad through communities. And I asked him toward the end of the podcast, what are some of the communities you feel strongly about? And he named one, two, or three. But the one he felt very strongly about that he feels really connected to is Killer Bears. And so I follow Killer Bears a lot. I have a lot of respect for you guys as a community, continuing to show up for things, continuing to support one another. But even if you're not really out there trying to get involved in the NFT community, buying an NFT here or there, there's a lot of ways you can do it. Follow the right people, know who you can trust, give some good people up on the stage a follow and see what they're doing. And you can learn a lot through that. But Drew, you brought us all together tonight for this meme coin madness discussion. So I think it's only fair to kind of let you have the last word here.
Dude, I mean, we just got to do it more often. I feel like this is it feels like we're so back. And that Yassad is also a great dude. I've chatted with him like at length. He's huge into meme coins. And, you know, about every maybe like 2-3 weeks, we kind of just ping each other. And like, what are you buying? And he's like, what are you buying? And then we kind of like go back and forth a little bit. But yeah, he's pretty plugged in and he understands the world well, too. But yeah, I think, you know, it's an amazing conversation. I think, you know, you have to, this is stuff that we talked about in the podcast, you know, through 2022 is like establish, you know, what does success look like? You know, find team members. I think that's really the last point that I want to mention is even like there's been three people tonight that have DM'd me from this space is asking to get into this group chat. And, it's interesting because there's people that have been here for a long time, but they feel like they're just trading on their own and they feel like they don't really have this like sense of team. And I think that that's like the one, I mean, I'm looking at like a lot of Killer Bears here. Like there's even some people that like I've butt heads with in the past and it's a lot of it's perspective and a lot of it's just like, what is the mission? What is like, why are we spending so much time here? And when there's that misalignment, I think that that's when things get off track. But this idea that, you know, we can have a team in a PvP world is, I think that's a superpower. I think that, like I mentioned earlier in the space, if I didn't have like, you know, some of the friends and people that I was surrounded with in this world, and I was just trading on my own, I think I would have been burnt out and packed my bags like a long time ago. But, the benefits of having a team in a PvP world is, like people that you can really trust and lean onto and not just like, not in the sense of not in the sense of just like holding bags and not dumping on each other. That's definitely a part of it, but more so in the sense of like this week alone, I probably picked up the phone and called like maybe like 30 or 40 people, letting them know it's like, hey, look, things are picking up. I know that this is something that interests you. If there was a time to get active again, this would be the time. And here's what I'm looking at. And here's what I've been, you know, doing my research on. And, you need people like that in your life to do that. Like I need people to do that for me, you know, like I need somebody to like do their own research and then come to me with something. And we kind of have this symbiotic relationship. And
I brought you Swifties today. Isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah. And it's a Solana coin. And in the course of this space, I've been down and up and down and up. And so, it's actually taken away a lot of my attention fans though, but you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not paying anybody else. They're not paying me. It's like, it's just a shared symbiotic valued relation team. And, I think that's, you know, with Meta Athletes, with Killer Bears, with Pepe, it's this ability to build a team around yourself to succeed in this space. Or, and maybe success looks like just having a good time and not being extremely stressed out in a world of finance. Right. So, yeah, Travi, that was kind of just my last point is, find these people, build relations and just get on the same page and kind of define what success looks like for the future.
Big special thanks to Fanzo and Drew. I hope you guys got a lot of value out of this. I got a lot of value out of it. I always get value out of hanging out with my friends, even if it's just on a X space every once in a while. But if you're one of our friends, I look forward to seeing you very soon at NFT NYC coming up in April. Guys, this has been a pleasure. Again, I don't check in every week as I used to do because we've all been through the bear together. We're all a little bit exhausted of the stuff that just comes in and goes out. So really trying to take our time and bring you some stuff that we think you're going to be interested in. So if there's anything that you want to hear about or any projects or founders that you think should be talked about, discussed, or interviewed, you can hit me up on X, aka Twitter, at MRTRAVISTHO, at Mr. Travis Though. And if you bring some good guests our way, I'll do what I always try to do for you, and that is bring one love to Web3. I'll catch you next time. Peace.